It's so good to see all of you. You can grab your Bibles right now and turn to James chapter 5 is where we are. My name's Chris Ward. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. And I just hope you had a great Thanksgiving. My family definitely did, obviously, with still young kids. Thanksgiving is really fun. In fact, one of the cutest things, kind of one of the highlights, and I know this sounds a little bit weird, but my daughter Madison, who's my middle child, she got pink eye the day before Thanksgiving. And rather than be a bad thing for her, this was a good thing because, as I said, she's my middle child. So she's the one who really, really likes attention. And so the day of Thanksgiving, as we were about ready to head to my parents' house for a Thanksgiving dinner, Madison looked at me and she had the biggest smile on her face and she said, "Dad, I can't wait to tell everybody the bad news that I have pink eye." And she was so happy. So I hope your Thanksgiving was as thrilling as it was for my daughter, but I hope it was pink eye free, okay? So with that being said, as I said, we are in James chapter 5 here today. And today we get the opportunity to close out this series in James that we have been in. And there's a lot of verses here that we haven't covered yet, but for reasons that will become clear in just a second, I've decided to focus on just four verses as we close out James. And so this starts in verse 13. I want to read this passage ahead of time, and then we're going to pray, and then we'll see, dive in and see what God has for us. We'll also have these words on the screen. James is the brother of Jesus, and he writes this. He says, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you so much for this weekend after Thanksgiving, God. We thank you for all the things that you give us, God. You give us so many blessings. I am convinced we're only aware of just a small fraction of them. But we thank you for that, God. And we thank you for the opportunity we get here this weekend just to look at your word, Lord. And Father, my desire here today is simply to be a vessel of your power, to do what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, to speak not with wise and persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that our faith would not rest on the wisdom of God, but it would rest on the power of, risen a man rather, but it would rest on the power of God. And so, Father, I just pray that you would speak through me here today, and with the message that you want to get across would be the message that is received here today. And we ask all this in your Son's name. Amen. Well, as we begin here today, you know, one of the interesting things about being in the role that I'm in as a teaching pastor, and one of the interesting things about being in that role now for over 13 years, over 11 years here at Friends Church, and then 2 years at another church, is that over the course of these 13 years, I've had the opportunity to teach on a few passages of Scripture more than once in the church. And what I found out is it's always an interesting experience for me to revisit a section of Scripture that I've taught on before. And that's because often new life experiences and sometimes even new difficulties and challenges since the last time I taught on a passage of Scripture, it can add a new dimension or it can bring a fresh perspective to what it is that God's Word says. And that is definitely the case with the passage that we are taking a look at today. If you're paying attention, as I read just a second ago, you would have seen that this is a passage in our Bible. In fact, it's probably the most famous passage in our Bible on the subject of healing and how we are to respond as a church when someone in our community is sick. And what James tells us that we are to do here is that when someone in our church community is sick, we are to pray for them, we are to bring them before God. And James actually says that as we pray for them, we can expect something pretty extraordinary to happen. And it's what you see in verse 15 when James says this. He says, "The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up." See that there? He says, "The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up." And based on that one verse, what most scholars believe that James is talking about here is he is talking about the fact that we can see in the church today the same sort of miraculous healing that we see in Jesus' ministry. Then in response to those who are sick in the church, as we pray for them, that we might actually experience miraculous instantaneous healing in our midst. In fact, a lot of scholars point out that James almost seems to guarantee that in this passage. I mean, how else do you interpret verse 15, right? James says, "And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up." I mean, James almost seems to guarantee miraculous instantaneous healing in response to our prayers. I mean, this is a very encouraging, it's a very hope-filled section of Scripture. Well, going back to what I said a second ago, this is actually the third time now that I've taught on this passage in the church. And between the last time I taught on it and this time, there has been a life experience that my family has gone through that has definitely impacted how I look at this section of Scripture. And of course, I'm talking about my wife's breast cancer diagnosis last year. For those of you who don't know this, in about April or May of last year, my wife found a lump in her right breast, and after a biopsy, it was determined that my wife had stage 2 invasive breast cancer. And I'll be honest with you, brothers and sisters, and I think I shared this with you before, but when my wife got her diagnosis, I was convinced that God was going to heal her miraculously and instantaneously. In fact, I was almost convinced, I may have shared this with you, that when the doctor went to operate on her, that he was not going to find any tumor at all. And the reason I was convinced of that is because of this passage in the book of James. As I said, I had taught on this 2 times before. And each time I taught on this passage, I stood on this very stage and I declared very boldly, I said, hey, God still does this today. God still heals today. And so if you're sick, we need to pray for you. We need to bring you before God. And who knows, we may experience a miracle here today. And I think because of that, I think because of the depth to which I believe this passage, and I think because of the boldness that I've had in declaring this passage to other people, I really thought if there was anyone who's going to be a recipient of a miracle, it was going to be my family. It was going to be my wife. But guess what? That didn't exactly happen. Now, just so you know, for full disclosure, my wife is cancer-free right now, which is amazing, and praise God for that, absolutely, definitely. And so in that sense, my wife is healed, but, and I feel weird saying but to this, but my wife's healing did not come miraculously and instantaneously, as James seems to talk about in this passage. No, as you all know, my wife's healing, it came at a great cost. She had to undergo a double mastectomy. She had to undergo 6 weeks of painful radiation. She is taking a medicine right now that she will take every day for the rest of her life in order to maintain her quote-unquote healing. And so I say that to say, although we did everything that James talks about in this passage, although we prayed, although we anointed my wife with oil, as it talks about in verse 14, although at one point we had, what, maybe 2,000 plus people praying for my wife, this wasn't exactly our experience. And I know we're not alone in that. This also wasn't the experience of Pastor Jay, right? Now, Jay's in a good spot right now, but as many of you know, there was no miraculous healing for Jay. He had to undergo 2 operations to remove his tumors. He also had to undergo chemo and radiation. He is also taking a medicine that he will take every day for the rest of his life in order to maintain his quote-unquote healing. So this wasn't his experience either. And this also wasn't the experience of a former member of a small group I'm a part of, a 41-year-old mom who lost her battle with complications related to lupus a year ago August. So Kimberly Mora is her name. Some of you knew her. And if you know anything about Kimberly Mora, she was an incredible woman of faith, and she was an incredible woman of God. And when she was in the hospital, there were probably over 10,000 people praying for her, and they were praying, James chapter 5, they were praying for a miracle, but even still, she passed away. So this wasn't her experience either. So how do we make sense of that, brothers and sisters? How do we make sense of what seems to be in Scripture a pretty clear and unconditional promise for miraculous healing with life experiences that don't always seem to line up with that? How do we make sense of that? And what do we do with this passage? What do we do with what it is that James says here? Well, I'll tell you what we can't do, okay? We can't take the easy way out. And what I mean by that is, listen, there are some pastors out there, and by the way, some of these pastors are very admired and respected, and they're on the radio, and I admire and respect them, and I listen to them, but there are some pastors out there who will say that we actually can't expect what we see in James chapter 5 anymore today. You see, there are some people who believe that the miraculous and instantaneous healing that James references in this passage, it was something that was only reserved for the first century when God was getting the church established. But now that the church is established, God has no need for miracles anymore, they will say. And so this passage actually is not for us today. We can't expect this to happen. Well, I want to let you know, brothers and sisters, that I do not believe that. Even after all we went through this past year and a half, I don't believe that. And understand, I don't believe that because I don't see any hint of that teaching either in Scripture in general or in this passage specifically. I mean, as I was reading this passage, did any of you hear James put an expiration date on what he said? Did any of you hear James say, hey, just so you know, there's coming a point when this is not going to happen anymore? No, in fact, I believe if we determine this passage in James chapter 5 is not for us anymore, then we need to say that about every passage in the book of James. And I don't think any of us are prepared to say that. You know, I absolutely believe that this still happens today. I believe this is for us today. And I want to let you know, I believe that not just because the Bible tells me so, though honestly that would be enough for me, but I also believe it because I've seen it, men and women. I've seen James chapter 5 happen basically before my very eyes. I don't know if you know this, but once a quarter here in Yorba Linda, we do James chapter 5. We have a monthly prayer night here. It's usually the first Thursday of every month. And once a quarter, we devote that prayer night to healing prayer. And the stories that have come out of it in just this past year alone have been incredible. For the sake of time, let me very quickly just share two of them with you. The first one I think maybe I've shared with you before, but this happened about 9 or 10 months ago. And 9 or 10 months ago, we had a man who walked into this healing prayer night, and he was suffering from pancreatic cancer. And let me tell you, when I saw him, I was taken aback because his skin was yellow. He was jaundiced. In other words, it was very clear that he was not doing very well. But when it came time to prayer, there's this wonderful couple in our church. They headed straight towards this man because they knew he wasn't doing well. And they prayed for him, and they prayed boldly. They prayed exactly what James chapter 5 says. They prayed for a miracle. Well, fast forward a couple of weeks. I saw this man at another event at our church. And when I saw him, I almost didn't recognize him because his skin wasn't yellow anymore. He looked healthy again. And sure enough, he came up to me and he said, "Pastor Chris, I don't know if you remember me. I came to the healing prayer night a couple of weeks ago. I want to let you know, I just got back from the doctors and they cannot find any trace of my cancer anymore. And they cannot explain what has happened. I have been completely healed from my cancer. And although the doctors can't explain it, I can explain it, brothers and sisters." What did this man experience? He experienced instantaneous miraculous healing, just like James says. So that's the first story. Second story happened 3 or 4 months ago. And 3 or 4 months ago, there was another woman who walked into this healing prayer night. And she actually walked into the prayer night not to be prayed for, but she walked in to pray for other people. Well, I caught her on the way out, and as she was leaving, she talked about this mysterious illness that she had, where she was throwing up every day, and the doctors couldn't explain what was going on. And I know what you were thinking, but she was beyond childbearing years, okay? So she wasn't with child or anything like that. And so I said, "Well, then we need to pray for you. That's what tonight is all about." So me and another person, we prayed over this woman. Well, guess what? The next morning was the first day, I think, in over a month, maybe 2 months, where she didn't throw up. And she has not thrown up again since. What has this woman experienced? She has experienced James chapter 5. She has experienced a miraculous healing, just like James says. So yes, this still happens. James chapter 5 is still for us today. So if that's the case, why not always? Why doesn't this happen all the time? Well, going back to what I talked about earlier, this is the new perspective that I have on this passage. Because you see, after what we went through with my wife 1.5 years ago, I went back to this passage. Because I wanted to find out, God, your word seems to say that in response to our prayers, we can expect miraculous instantaneous healing. So why wasn't that my wife's experience? And not just my wife, why isn't that a lot of people's experience? Well, as I revisited this passage a third time, what God did, I believe, is he opened my eyes to things in this passage I had never seen before. And what I found out is actually embedded in this passage are some reasons that James gives us for why someone might not experience miraculous instantaneous healing. In other words, what I found out is that James actually answers that question that I asked of God in this particular passage. And as I studied that, as I saw what James had to say and the reasons that James gives, I'll be honest with you, some of what James said was very comforting. Other parts of what James says wasn't all that comforting. But all of it was really important to know. So here's what I want to do, okay? In the next several minutes, I actually want to share with you some of the reasons that James gives us for why someone might not experience miraculous and instantaneous healing. And I want to warn you, some of you may not like some of what I have to say. In fact, I don't like entirely everything that I have to say. But it's what God's word says. So we need to hear it. So why might not someone experience James chapter 5? Well, the first reason that James gives us is found in verses 15 and 16 of this passage. And here's what I want to do. I want to read these couple of verses again. And as I do, I want you to pay attention and see if there's anything interesting that stands out to you about what James says here. Okay, so we'll put these verses on the screen. Verses 15 and 16, James says this. He says, "And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven." Verse 16, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." And did anything stand out to you about those couple of verses? Well, I'll tell you what stands out to me, okay? And that is that two times in a passage on healing, James talks about sin. Did you see that there? He talks about the end of verse 15 and again at the beginning of verse 16. Two times he talks about the need for forgiveness of sins and confession of sins and so on. Now that's a little bit interesting. Why in a passage on healing, why would James talk so much about sin? Well, what James is picking up on here is one of the more uncomfortable truths of the Bible. And that is the fact that sometimes the Bible indicates, sometimes, not all the time, and I'll talk about more about that in a second. But sometimes some of the sickness that we experience in this life, the Bible makes it clear, can be a result of our sin. Sin that we haven't dealt with, sin that we haven't admitted and confessed. And therefore, what James seems to suggest here is it's not until we deal with that sin that we can expect any healing from that sickness. In other words, what James seems to suggest here is one of the reasons why someone may not get healed is because of a sin in their life that they're not willing to deal with. Now listen, I know as those words come out of my mouth, some of you are made very uncomfortable by that. In fact, some of you may be ready to get up and walk out on me. Because we don't like to think that, especially with our modern 21st century sensibilities, right? We don't like to think that physical illnesses that we have in this life can have spiritual causes, let alone causes due to our sin. Our minds don't like to go there. But I want to let you know that James is not saying anything here that his brother Jesus didn't say. In fact, I'm going to put this verse on the screen in just a second. It's from John chapter 5. There's a great story in John chapter 5 where Jesus heals a man who has been unable to walk for 38 years. And Jesus heals him miraculously and instantaneously, just like this passage talks about. Well, we're told a few hours later, Jesus sees this man at the temple. And I want you to listen to what Jesus said to this man that he healed. John chapter 5, verse 14. We'll put it on the screen. Jesus says this. It says, later Jesus found the man at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Now listen to Jesus' words, right? He says, see, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Now, brothers and sisters, this is not one of those precious moments verses that we like to frame and hang on our bedroom wall, right? And you won't find this promise of Jesus in the Promises of Jesus books that you buy at the bookstore or get online. But nevertheless, these are Jesus' words. And what is Jesus doing here? Well, he's making a connection between this man's sickness of 38 years and his sin. And it's the same connection that James is making in this passage. That some of the sicknesses that we experience in this life can actually have as an underlying cause some area of disobedience against God, and it's not until we deal with that disobedience that we can expect healing from that sickness. That's what James is saying. Now, obviously, brothers and sisters, we need to be really, really careful with this. Because some of you may know this, but some people in the church over the years have taken this to the extreme. And whenever someone is sick, they'll go around and they'll say, well, you must have some sin in your life. God must be mad at you. That's the only reason to explain what is going on. And so what is the secret sin that you are taking, or you're holding on to? And listen, that is a terrible thing to do. And it's not at all what James would have us do. In fact, I want you to note a couple of things about this passage. The first thing I want you to note is a little word in verse 15. It's probably the smallest word in verse 15, but it may be the most important word. And that's at the end of that verse, and that is the word if. If they have sinned, James says. If they have sinned. And what James is making clear there is though some sickness is a result of sin, not all sickness is. And by the way, Jesus made the same thing clear as well. So that's the first thing. And then second, listen, nowhere in this passage does James say that when someone is sick, we need to accuse them of some sin. That's a terrible thing to do. Instead, here's what I believe based on what James says here, okay? I believe if we are suffering a sickness in this life, I do believe in keeping with this passage, we need to ask God, God, is this a result of some sin? And if God brings something to mind, well, then we need to confess it. We need to repent of it. But if God doesn't bring anything to mind, we don't need to go searching out for some secret sin. We don't need to make up something just so that we have something to confess. No, sometimes, in fact, I would say most of the time, sickness in this life just is. It's not a result of any underlying sin. Nevertheless, this is one reason that James gives for why someone might not experience James chapter 5. But you know what? There's another reason that James gives as well. And the second reason is related to faith, or I should say lack thereof. And you see this again at the beginning of verse 15. James says this. He says, "And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up." And the key there is at the beginning when he says, "And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well." And what James is doing here is he's telling us that when we pray to God for healing, we need to pray a certain way. We need to pray in faith, James says. And there's a connection that James is making here. It's a connection between faith and healing, between faith and miracles. And this is a connection, by the way, that we see in Jesus' ministry especially. You know, if you study all the miracles that Jesus performed during his lifetime, you will see that there is a common thread that unites most of them, and that is faith. In other words, people had to believe that Jesus could do what it is that they were asking him to do. Well, guess what? The same thing goes for us. If we want to ask God for healing, we need to believe that God can do what it is that we are asking him to do. That's part of what it means to pray in faith. But you know what? I actually think we need to go further than that. I'm going to put another verse on the screen. This is Hebrews 11, verse 6. In Hebrews chapter 11, the author of Hebrews is talking about the nature of genuine faith. And verse 6 is such an important verse. Listen to what he says. He says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him," and now the author of Hebrews is going to define faith. He says, "Because anybody who comes to him must believe that he exists," and here's the key phrase, "and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." And the key phrase is at the end, "and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." And you know what the author of Hebrews is telling us here? Well, he's telling us that faith is not just believing that God can do the things that we ask of him, but faith is also, to a certain extent, believing that God will do the things that we ask of him. Faith is believing that God wants to reward us, that he wants to give good things to us. In other words, faith is not just believing that God can do good things for us, brothers and sisters. Faith is believing that God actually wants to do good things for us. And this is something that is important to keep in mind as we pray for healing. You know, I'll be perfectly honest with you. When that man with pancreatic cancer, when he came into that healing prayer night, I didn't want to pray for him. In fact, thankfully, I didn't. Someone else did. And the reason I didn't want to pray for him is I knew I was not going to pray in faith. Now, don't get me wrong. I absolutely believe that God could heal that man. I just didn't believe that God would heal that man. I mean, pancreatic cancer is a really big deal. And by all appearances, this man's cancer was pretty serious. And so I doubted that God was going to step in and intervene in that situation. Brothers and sisters, that is not how God wants us to approach him in prayer. God wants us to approach him in prayer believing that he wants to do good things for us. And this applies to healing, yes, but I think it applies to all areas of our life. In fact, I want to ask you a question right now. If you're in a difficult situation right now and you're praying for God to intervene in that situation, here's the question I have for you, okay? Are your prayers full of hope or are your prayers full of nope? Are your prayers full of hope or are your prayers full of nope? Like that, I came up with it on my own, though I'm sure other people have used that before, but I was pretty proud of that one. But are your prayers full of hope or are they full of nope? And what do I mean by that? Well, are your prayers full of hope? When you pray, are you praying believing that God wants to intervene in your situation, that he wants to do good things for you, that he wants to reward you, as the author of Hebrews talks about? Are your prayers full of hope or are they full of nope? And what is a prayer that's full of nope? What does that sound like? Well, it sounds something like this. You say to God, "Well, God, I know you can do something about this," but in the back of your mind, you're thinking, "But let's be honest, you're probably not going to do anything about it." That's how my prayers sound sometimes. And that's not praying with hope. That's a prayer that is full of nope. And that's not praying in faith. Faith isn't just believing that God can do good things for us. Faith is believing that God wants to do good things for us. Now, obviously, we can take this too far, can't we? And some people do. See, there are some people out there who believe that God will heal everyone just as long as they have enough faith. And therefore, if you're not being healed right now, it's either A, because you have some secret sin, or B, it's because you're not believing in God strongly enough. And once again, brothers and sisters, that is a horrible thing to say to people. And worse than that, it's just bad theology. It is. It's not what the Bible teaches. And all you have to do to see that is look at the example of the Apostle Paul. If you don't know the Apostle Paul, he was one of the early leaders of the Christian faith, wrote more of the New Testament than anybody else. So he was a man of great faith. Well, during his life, Paul had what he called his thorn in the flesh. It was likely some mysterious illness that was debilitating for him. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says that on three separate occasions, he begged God, he prayed to God, he prayed James chapter 5. He prayed that God would heal him. And you know what God said each time? God said no. Now, how do we make sense of that? If there's anyone who fulfilled all the criteria of James chapter 5, it was Paul. I mean, Paul had great faith. Paul believed God wanted good things for him. And I don't think Paul had any unconfessed sin. He was a pretty righteous dude. So why didn't Paul get his healing? Why didn't he experience James chapter 5? Well, that's what leads to the third reason why someone may not experience miraculous and instantaneous healing. And this third reason is this, is because God wants to bring something good out of our difficult situation. It's because God has something better planned for us than that miraculous healing. Now, this third reason, admittedly, is a little bit more hidden in James chapter 5, but I think it's still there. And it's found at the end of verse 14 when James talks about the name of the Lord. Verse 14, James says this. He says, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And understand, when James talks about the name of the Lord there, he's not just saying that when we pray, we need to end our prayers within Jesus' name, though it would include that. But James' reference to the name of the Lord there, it's much bigger than that. What James means when he talks about the name of the Lord there is he means that at the end of the day, we need to realize that it is not our confession of sin, and it's not our prayers, and it's not even our faith that heals us. No, at the end of the day, what is it that heals us? Or better asked, who is it that heals us? It's Jesus who heals us. It's God who heals us. And our God is not a vending machine, where as long as you press the right buttons and say the right things, you're going to get everything that you ask for. No, our God is the all-powerful, all-wise, sovereign King of the universe. And our God has a plan for this universe that is far bigger than anything that we can see. And yes, sometimes that plan that God has will include miraculous healing for those who ask him. But you know what? Sometimes it won't. Sometimes God will say no to those requests. But here's what God's word assures us, okay? The plans that God has for each and every one of us are plans ultimately to prosper us and not to harm us. They're plans ultimately to give us a hope and a future. And what we need to realize is that sometimes it is God's no that brings us that hope and that future. Sometimes it is God's no that brings us the good things that God has for us. This is the reason I'm convinced God did not heal my wife miraculously and instantaneously. I cannot begin to tell you all the good that God brought out of this past year and a half. In fact, I would say my wife and I right now, we are closer to God than we have ever been, and we are experiencing a closeness to God that we would not have experienced if God had healed my wife miraculously like we asked him to. I know it's cliche, and I know it's also country, which doesn't go over well with everybody. But you know what? Garth Brooks was right. And that is some of God's greatest gifts are what? They're unanswered prayers. And that's what we need to realize about prayers for sickness and healing and the like. You know, one of the privileges that I get as a pastor is I get the privilege to preside over funerals. And one of the things that I found is every funeral is difficult. There's no exception to that. Every funeral is hard. But I found that it is especially difficult to do funerals for those people that we would say were taken before their time. The moms and dads, for example, who leave behind young kids. But here's what I know, okay? That person who passed away, that mom who died of COVID, that dad who died of cancer, if they put their faith in Jesus in this life, I promise you, I assure you, they are healed now. And they are experiencing more of a healing now than they would have if they had been a recipient of a miracle here on this earth. In fact, a line that I often say at funerals, and I believe this, is this. I say, the person we are celebrating right now, they are more alive than they have ever been, and they are more alive than any of us in this room. And that's because they are with the giver of life. And they are experiencing a joy right now that this earth is not even capable of. You see, what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, is that sometimes the greatest thing that God can do for his children is not bring that miraculous healing. Isaiah puts it this way in Isaiah 57, 1 and 2. I've always loved these couple of verses. He says this. He says, good people pass away. The godly often die before their time. But no one seems to care or wonder why. No one seems to understand that God is protecting them from the evil to come. For those who follow godly paths will rest in peace when they die. Did you know the Bible said that? Did you know the Bible said that sometimes the best thing that God can do for his children is not bring them that miracle? That's what God's word says. You know, at the beginning of this message, I talked about Kimberly Mora, the 41-year-old mom who died a year ago August because of complications related to her lupus. And at her memorial service last year, they gave on the program some of the goals that she had written at the beginning of 2022, the year that she passed away, obviously not knowing what was going to happen to her that year. And I want you to listen to three of the goals that Kimmy wrote down, okay? These were three of Kimmy's goals for 2022. Number one, she wrote that she wanted to know God more, to know him so personally and allow herself to be surrendered to his plan for her. Second, she wrote that she wanted to go back to school for theology. And third, she wrote that she wanted to join the worship team. She wanted to know God more. She wanted to go back to school for theology. And she wanted to join the worship team. Now, brothers and sisters, tell me that she is not doing those things better in heaven than she could on earth. She's a part of the worship team of heaven. Sometimes the best thing that God can do for his children is not bring that miracle. So what does that mean for us? If someone in our community is sick, if you yourself are sick, what does that mean? What do we do? Well, I'll tell you what we do. Look with me at James chapter 5, verse 13, okay? This is what we do. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. That's what we do. See, despite everything that I just said, God still heals men and women. And he asks us to ask him to heal. So you know what we do? We do what God tells us to do. We do what God's word says, and we leave the results up to God. And so since God asks us to heal, we ask him to heal. And we let him decide what he's going to do with that. And that's exactly how we're going to close our time together here today. As we close today, we're going to have an opportunity to put James chapter 5 into practice. And the way it's going to work is this. We're going to have a couple of worship songs here at the end. And during these worship songs, there are four crosses that are all behind you or behind you in the front section right here. We're going to have members of our prayer team and some staff members and some elders. And at any time during these couple of worship songs, if you yourself are suffering from an illness, or if there's someone that you love that's not here that's suffering from an illness and you want to receive prayer on behalf of them, then we would encourage you to go to those crosses and to receive prayer from our prayer team. And just so you know, this can be any type of illness. It can be mental, it can be physical, it can be spiritual, it can be emotional. In fact, the word sick that James uses here can encompass all of those different things. And if you do come forward to receive prayer, let me tell you what to expect, because I know some people are nervous by this sort of thing. First thing that's going to happen is when you come forward to receive prayer, our prayer team member, they're going to ask for your name. And then after they do that, they're going to ask how they can pray for you. And at that time, you can share as much or as little as you want. It's entirely up to you. And then after they do that, they're going to ask if they can anoint you with oil. And the reason we do that is because in verse 14, we're told that we are to anoint the sick with oil. And if you say yes to that, they're going to put a small drop of oil in their finger, and then they're going to draw a cross on your forehead. And just so you know, we don't believe anything that there's anything magical or mystical about the oil. In the Bible, oil was a reminder of God's presence, and so we anoint you with oil to remind you that God is with you. So if you say yes to that, that's what's going to happen. If you don't want to be anointed with oil, some people are allergic, some people are just weirded out by it. You don't have to be anointed with oil. We don't believe that God needs oil in order to heal, okay? But then after that, what the prayer team member is going to do is they're going to ask if they can put their hand on your shoulder. And again, you can say yes or no to this. And then they're going to begin to pray for you. And they're going to pray in the way that God leads them to pray. But I want to let you know, in keeping with this passage, they're going to pray boldly. They're going to pray for a miracle. They're going to pray for healing, miraculous and instantaneous healing. They're also going to likely pray that God will use doctors and medicine and all of that to heal. Because of course we believe that God can do that too. But we're going to pray in the direction that God leads us to pray. And I also want to let you know this, because some people have seen this on TV before and they're a little bit nervous. At this church, we do not slap anybody on the forehead, okay? And we don't knock anybody over. And we don't yell at anybody. And again, we don't do that because we don't believe that God needs that in order to heal, okay? So there's no theatrics here today. I also want to let you know that we will not be asking anybody to confess sin here today. Now, if in the course of praying you feel like you need to, well, then I'd encourage you to do that. And please know anything that you share will be kept between you and the person who's praying for you. But we're not going to ask that, okay? But that's what's going to happen if you come forward to receive prayer. And for those of you who don't have any reason to come forward, well, we're going to worship during this time, and so you can stay in your seats and worship. But I would also encourage you, if you can, pray for the people who are receiving prayer. Pray that God would move. Pray that God would do something miraculous. And maybe if you came with a neighbor or a friend or a coworker here today, the two of you, you can pray together in your seats. We leave this time up to you to use how you want to, okay? But let me say this as we head into this time. It's up to God to decide what he's going to do. Our responsibility is not to figure out what God is going to do. Our responsibility is simply to do what God has asked us to do. So I say that to say we're going to come in faith today. We're going to come forward believing that God can do the miraculous, and we're going to let God decide what he wants to do with that. So as you come forward today, I would ask you, would you come forward in hope, believing that God wants to meet you and he wants to reward you, okay? Because that's what God's word says. So as we head into this time, would you all do me a favor? Would you stand with me right now? And I'm going to ask our prayer team members, would you make your way out of your seats right now as I speak? And would you make your way to the crosses so that you can be ready? And as we head into this time, I would ask all of us just to bow our heads as I pray over us. So let's pray. Father God, we believe that you are a God of miracles, Father. And as your word says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, God, we believe that we can see the same thing that Jesus did in his ministry in our midst here today, Father. And not only do I believe that we can see that, God, I believe that we will see that, Father. This past week, I've just had faith, especially today, that you're going to move, and you're going to move in big ways, Lord, that you want to heal, and you want to show mercy and compassion to your people, your children, in this way, God. And so that's what we pray for today. So, Father, I pray for anybody right here who is struggling with an illness, and maybe they're a person right now that they have just given up all hope. Maybe the doctors have given them no hope. Maybe the doctors have said there's just nothing more that we can do, Lord. But, God, we believe that we're doctors and medicine and all that ends. God, you're just getting started. And you are able to do far above and above anything that we can even ask or imagine, Lord. So, God, I pray that you would give people the faith and the confidence and the courage to come today and receive prayer at the crosses, Lord. I pray, God, that you would just pour out your spirit on this place in a way that only you can, Father. I pray that we would see healing. I pray that we'd see chains broken. I pray that we would see just miracles, Father, not because of anything that we've done, but simply because of what you've done and our responding to what it is that you call us to do. And so, God, we believe that the same God who did all the amazing things in the Bible is here with us today, Lord. And so we come in eager expectation and anticipation of what you're going to do. So God, be over this time, be in and through it, Lord. And we thank you in advance for the ways that you're going to work. We love you, Father, and we thank you. And we ask all this in your Son's name. Amen. As you feel led, please go to the crosses and receive prayer today. And let's continue on in worship.